Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. Yep. This is Michael Dean, and it's After Dark. And this is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza. And on the other end of the inner tubes, I have Mr. Lusander Fiend. Where are you calling from, Lusander?
I am in the Police State Project, and I'm here to let you know I came to chew bubblegum and exercise my Chapter 5, Article 67 rights. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
What does is that from the Constitution or the thing before it?
That is from the North Korean Constitution, because it is a constitutional republic, and Chapter 5 is their version of the Bill of Rights. It's called Rights and Duties of Citizens.
Duties.
And Article 67 is,
duty.
Citizens are guaranteed freedom of speech, of the press, of assembly, demonstration, and association.
Yeah, try that in North Korea. And you know, North Korea, it's not a democracy, it's a republic.
Yes, it is.
We were talking. Go ahead.
And it's a Republican name only, or representation in name only, kind of like the USSA.
We're getting there because, you know, police agencies more and more, especially in the Police State Project of Detroit and other places like the Police State Project of New York City and just everywhere, are they're learning that there's no such thing as effective social networking for cops because, you know, like in New York City, they put up a – what was the name of the page?
It was a Twitter feed. I think it was hashtag MyNYPD.
Yeah, and people just started hashtagging pictures of the NYPD beating the crap out of people.
Yeah, and, but the backstory on it is in their little campaign to make themselves look warm and fuzzy and not, you know – filthy and hairy.
Spiky.
They said, send us your pictures with NYPD officers. Now show them serving and protecting you. And I think it was Luke Radowski from We Are Change put the video of him getting beaten by batons. And then you just had the barrage of everybody else getting pepper sprayed. There were pictures of Occupy Wall Street folks getting beat up and all that other nonsense. So, yeah, kind of backfired.
Yeah, we are. And what happened in Detroit recently with the cadets?
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
No, you said something about the graduates of something put up pictures of something.
That was the Michigan State Police. They posted on their Twitter feed and Facebook page about the 15 graduates of their emergency response stormtrooper school, and you got a bunch of guys. Yeah, a bunch of guys, they're dudded out like they're Army Rangers about to go on some kind of special operations rescue mission or something like that. And the
we'll
response,
rescue the hell out of you.
Yeah, the response to that was so negative, it mysteriously got taken down. And you can find that picture at Freedom Fiends radio show and podcast, Face Beef.
Yeah, I think more and more the powers that be and the military arms of them, like the police, are just going to not want to cooperate on any kind of level playing field with the public because the public is going to talk back. And boy, that's annoying.
And that just recently happened not too far from Detroit up in Brighton, Michigan. There's a young guy that he and some of his friends were out at a local park goofing around doing things that young people do. And
cussing.
Well, actually, I don't think they were cussing just yet. But anyway, the goons came along and said, hey, you kids, get off my lawn.
They're skateboarding, and, right?
Yeah. They chased the skateboarders away, you know, because when you got rapists and murderers and serial killers going around out there, you got to keep those folks safe from the skateboarders.
Yeah.
But anyway, this kid wasn't even one of the ones that that was skateboarding, and the cops came over and said, all right, get out of here, you punk, and tried to send him on his way. And under his breath, he muttered, this is Feinsteining Bullshumer.
And that's the radio version of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Or who knows? Maybe that's going to catch on and be a new phrase.
I like Feinsteining Bullshumer.
Yeah, good. maybe the fiends can clean up profanity. But anyway.
You know, the thing is, when you clean up profanity like that, it becomes funnier and better and more hard-hitting and, like, more obnoxious in a way. Because real cussing has lost its power to the point where it's like, cussing? What is that? That doesn't matter.
Right. It's creative discussion or destruction.
Yeah.
Both. But anyway, he got a $200 ticket. He went to court, and basically what happened was he went to the government to ask the government to reverse the decision of another part of government, and he lost. And the story has been covered on multiple news outlets. It even got a 45-second blurb on RT, and there's a rally planned for this Saturday, and the rally is called This is Feinsteining Bullshumer.
Yeah, you know what? This would be a really good activist cause for some rich person to basically say, I will pay the $200 fine for the next 1,000 people that get caught cussing in public.
Yes, it would be. But anyway,
that's not me.
Yeah, me neither. But anyway, this is going to be happening Saturday at 1 p.m. out in Brighton. And there's
what state?
Michigan.
Thank you.
And there's an article about it. Let's see now. This looks like livingstondaily.com, so the press in Argus, whatever. But anyway, when you look at the comments down below, it's like, oh my God, he used profanity. He disrespected an authority figure.
I'm really disturbed by the comments on this article on CBS Local Detroit. A lot of people are like, when I was their age, kids had respect for the police. This kid deserves to pay the fine. Maybe he'll have to get a job. And he looks like a snot-nosed punk to me. They're so statist, man. It's unbelievable. But it's a mainstream, lamestream news site, and that's who looks at those sites and comments on them.
Well, I'd like to highlight one comment on here.
Go for it.
That didn't take that approach. It says, but cops have magic costumes and shiny badges. That means they can do the things that anybody else would wind up in jail for. These bootlicking statists make me sick. They should all move to North Korea.
Is that L. Fiend? Is that the guy who posted that?
Yeah, that was me. But they might not like it because North Korea is a constitutional republic and they do have free speech.
Yep. I see another article here that looks interesting to me. It's protect your car from squirrels. So
because the squirrels swear at your car?
Yeah, I guess. So we got more on this, or can I segue into something?
Yeah, let's go ahead and segue. Maybe we'll bring it back in the what have we learned today section.
Yeah. So We Are Change, you mentioned them. Are they leftist anarchists, or what's their politics? What are they?
I think Luke Radowski started off kind of on a lefty bent, but he's been hanging out with Adam Kokesh a little bit.
Nice.
And I think he's going more black and gold. Oh, and the organizer of the rally, he was on Adam Kokesh, did an interview with him today. So,
well, I want to talk about a couple lefty anarchists, or ANCOMs, as they're called.
Ugh.
That I've encountered recently. So basically, there's two kinds of anarchists. You know, if you had the family tree of people that don't want any government, there's a lot of subcategories of them, but basically it's ANCOM and ANCAP. ANCOM is anarcho-communist, and it's people who want no government and also want no capitalism, and they want to share everything. And I know a bit about them because when I toured with my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, I showed it at a lot of anarchist events and squats in Europe, and, you know, slept in the same room as these stinky people. Not all of them are stinky, but a lot of them are also anarcho-nativists, which is people who like think that soap is part of the patriarchy and must be stopped or something. So, and they also, like, I don't really understand the idea of it, how they plan to redistribute the wealth without acting like the government. Because I'm not gonna let, you know, 40 stinky, dreadlocked, Occupy Wall Street people move into my house and live here. I'm not going to let them use my equipment to do their anarcho-leftist radio shows. So I don't know how they plan. I've never got a straight answer from one of how they plan to get their ends without acting like the government. And the closest I've had to dealing with them lately is secondhand, and it's through Davy Barker. He's an ANCOP, an ANCAP. He's one of us. But he's been to a bunch of Occupy Wall Street events, mainly to hand out ANCAP literature, anarcho-capitalist literature. Anarcho-capitalism is basically, you know, the same idea as ANCOMS, but you get to keep your stuff and you get to get rich if you work hard, which is very appealing to me. So I got in a face beef recently with an ANCOM who came on the Freedom Fiends page and started just yelling at me. It was basically a thread between you and I, which is kind of funny because I'm not really on Facebook, but I do have a user account for the admin account for the Freedom Fiends page. So sometimes you and I, and there's a couple other ones. There's Nima, there's Garrett, there's five, I think, altogether. I think, what's his name? Beardy McBeardson. What's our friend's name? Christopher. I think he has one too, right? Beardy McBeardson. Yeah. I could picture him, but a bearded anarchist. So, so a lot of times, like each time we post on there on that page, it shows up as Freedom Fiends podcast and radio show. So sometimes there'll be three or four of us talking and it looks like one crazy person arguing with himself or discussing things with himself because it's back and forth and it looks like it's the same person.
Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is. It's late at night and the hamster in one, your brain or my brain is too active. So I don't even remember what the thread was. Oh, it was the Go Commie Go thread. It was, there's this thing called the Red and Black Cafe. Is it in Portland?
I believe it is.
It is in Portland, Oregon, which is like ground zero for ANCOMS. And, some kid, I'm not going to say his name, I'm not going to say his band's name, but he came in and started arguing with me, like, interrupted the thread, you know, split the thread off and started posting these long, boring, like, pamphlet size posts on a conversation between you and I. We were talking about the Red and Black Cafe, which is an ANCOM worker owned, Workers of the World Unite ANCOM cafe in Portland, Oregon. And they've been in the news nationally twice for refusing to serve cops. And,
good for them.
And my friend, Jim Object, posted on a thread on that on the Freedom Fiends 2 years ago when they were in the news for it that said, I hate commies, but I hate cops more. Go commie go. And that was the thread. And this guy jumped in and, you know, peed all over our parade. We'll talk more about it when we get back from the market. And then we'll talk about some outreach to bring ANCOMS over the dark side of ANCAPism.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. I love cheese so much, I want to move there. I'm eating belt-fed cheese from my belt-fed machine gun. Actually, I have some string cheese that comes in a long strip. And when I rip one off, the cats come running because they want a little bit. And the cats got here too late. And I had it in my mouth, but I was still chewing it. So I took a tiny bit of it out on my finger and just fed it to Charlie. She just licked belt-fed machine gun cheese off my finger. Now, for any goons listening, I do not own a machine gun. I'm speaking figuratively about the random idea of feeding cheese through a machine gun. Y'all are the ones with the machine guns. And, you know, machine guns are for people that have more money than skill. As Boston Tea Party said, machine guns turn money into noise. Semi-autos turn brass into skill, turn lead into skill, I think it was. Yep.
I'm eating low-fat poached grasshoppers. I can't do deep fried because I'm on a diet, and I'm envious of your belt-fed cheese. And by the way, your confession will be edited in post-production at some goon recording studio.
Yeah. See, taken out of context. And see, I like this image you just sent me. Dear statists, if you hate freedom so much, why don't you move here? And it's a picture of North Korea. I think I'll use that for the show. Although it might be confusing because I'm talking about ANCOMS in this show. They're not really statists. They're just the most annoying form of people that don't love the state. So I was talking about this guy I was face beefing with, this anarcho-syndicalist, this anarcho-leftist, this anarcho-communist, this ANCOM. I'm sure one of those people of one of those ilks will say, those aren't the same thing. But, you know, to me they are. They're people that don't want the government but want to redistribute my wealth. So I don't like that. And I was beefing with this guy. And I made fun of, I wrote too long, didn't read below his post with an arrow, carrot arrow pointing up to it. And I misspelled too. I put T-O instead of T-O-O. I posted it. Within 15 seconds, I realized my mistake and corrected it. In that 15 seconds, he took a screenshot of it, then argued with me for 8 more posts, and then I blocked him after he said, I'm posting this on my page to show how stupid anarcho-capitalists are. And I went over to his page, and it was there, and it was like, big post with my typo, and like, see, they're so stupid they can't even spell. And he wrote on our page, you know, I'm going to show how stupid you were before you tried to like hide it by saving face. And I'm like, wait, you're saying it's a bad thing to correct your own typos? So basically, this guy was playing dirty pool and lying. And it's funny because he's in a band that's called like the Liars or the Prevaricators or something like that. The Decepticons. I don't know. I'm not even going to say the name of his band. I don't want to give him any traffic. But he has a band. He plays guitar in a really mediocre derivative punk rock band that, you know. And the funny thing is, like, I was playing in punk bands that were great before this kid was born in the same clubs he's playing in now. So la-dee-poo. What do you think, Lou?
I think talking to ANCOMs, anarcho-syndicalists, and all those other ones is like trying to nail Jell-O to a tree.
Yeah.
And whenever you try to explain economics, or if you try to explain any type of realistic theory, it's like going back to the 1800s, having the first car, showing it to somebody, and that person says, oh, well, that's a neat invention, but how do you hook the horse to it?
Yeah. And we're going to talk a little more about this guy and this thing and this concept. And then when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about my attempt to do some outreach today to bring one of these ANCOMs over to the dark side of anarcho-capitalism. True liberty, basically.
And something else that we really need to touch on is let's go into a little bit of detail of why ANCOMs are brain dead, butt hurt, goofballs.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, it's like, how do they decide things? You know, if there's no democracy, no voting, and no private property, you know, the whole thing of anarcho-capitalism. And if you're listening to this and you're a Republican or a small government person and you're like, anarchism, basically everything Republicans say when they're running for office is them trying to sound like anarchists. You know, I want government so small I can drown it in a bathtub. The government doesn't need to be involved in anything. Get out of my life. They're talking like anarchists. But when they get elected, they're not anarcho-capitalists. They are statists. They love the state. They want to increase the budget for everything, just the things they want. And, you know, they're basically socialists. They are literally socialists. They want to redistribute your wealth. All politicians do. So, if you want to be small government, take it down to secession to the last man. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about true liberty where, you know, you have your private property, you have your rights on it, you can be your own king on it. And you can ask questions like, what would you do about defense? What would you do about roads? That's all dealt with many times over, very intellectually. I can send you the links of it, but I'm not going to get into it now because we're just making fun of ANCOMs because it's fun. We'll be back with more on ANCOM Bash Chat on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, there's some Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
We'll be right back.
This is the majesty of the Freedom Fiends After Dark. The hamster is twitching in my brain, and I know the one that didn't lose brain is doing backflips. We went to the pet store today to get cat food, and we always look at all the little creatures, you know, the cats, the sad cats they have. I always want to bring all the cats home, but then we looked at the ferrets and the hamsters and the rats and the mice, but they were all asleep because those are all basically nocturnal beasts. So we thought about getting a hamster to entertain the cats, but in a hamster ball, but it would probably terrify the hamster because the cats would be trying to eat it. So speaking of people who want to eat their own and comms, I don't know if they want to eat their own. They're just really confused. So there is a video on YouTube. You can search it and I'll link it in the show notes. It's called Anarchist Event. What is it called? Anarchist Event Devolves into Chaos or something like that.
Something like that. Or Stinky People Go Nuts.
Yeah. And what it is it's a panel discussion at an anarcho-communist event at the University of Oregon in Portland. Now, the interesting thing is I've been to an anarcho-communist event at that. I've never been a communist, but I showed my movie DIY or Die there, and people were really rude. I didn't hear any shouting, but people were just nuts, you know, like, I'm better than you. I'm more ancom than you, that kind of attitude. And I did see... What did you say you were singing? Sing that Queen song again while I tell this story.
Oh, Fat Bottom Girls that make my rock and roll go round.
Really hot, curvy, plump lady, young lady in a slip. Down on the floor in her combat boots and her slip, trying to steal a Coke from a Coke machine. I thought that was kind of hot. Even though she was committing a real crime, it was just like, wow, you just don't give a Feinstein, baby. And of course, if I said that to her, she probably would have castrated me, or, you know, shouted at me that someone should castrate me. But that was the high point of the event for me. And otherwise, the event was just a bunch of snide, stinky people, saying how we need to redistribute the wealth. And I showed my movie there, and, you know, people liked it because Fugazi was in it, the band Fugazi, which are, you know, the house band of a lot of ANCOMs, which is weird because Ian MacKay is pretty close to probably ANCOM, but he still is politically active. Like, there's a video of him on YouTube of him addressing the Washington, D.C. City Council, telling them they shouldn't outlaw all-age musical events in places that serve alcohol because the kids need a place to go to keep them off the streets, which I agree with. So there's this video. Let me find the exact title of it. It's on the Free Talk. You know, this is kind of funny. Free Talk Live, I look at their site every day, and they have like people can submit news items. Is it stealing from Free Talk Live if people submit news items after their show or that they don't get to, and then since our show's at night, we look at this for show ideas?
I believe it's called recycling.
It's recycling. If they didn't get used, yeah.
There's a comment from one of our listeners in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, that those folks were anarcho-syndicalists.
Yeah, that's ANCOM, isn't it?
It's a little bit different. Anarcho-syndicalists, they want the unions to become the new state.
Yeah, and you know, I've talked to... wasn't that the original idea of communism before the Soviet Union turned it into statism? Wasn't the idea that the workers would control everything?
I think that was the hope and change that was promised.
Yes. Yeah. But this anyway, they're the other kind of not our kind of ands. So there's this, it's called Anarchist Conference Descends into Anarchy is how someone posted it on. But it says Anarchist Conference Devolves into Chaos. And I can't play this on the air because it is the F word is every third word in it. And that word is the most coherent word in any of it. So basically what the story is here is there was this law and disorder conference at Portland State University, May 9th through 11th, free and open to the public. So there was this speaker there named Christian Williams, K-R-I-S-T-I-A-N Williams. He's a man who was giving a conference that I would love to attend. It sounds like something that would be at an ANCAP thing. It was called, it was about identifying government snitches in your organization. How to identify them. I would love to, I had no problem with that conference. That's a good conference. That should be taught in public schools, but it never would be, because in public schools they teach you how to be a snitch. But it should be taught everywhere. I mean, that would be a welcome event at Porkfest. So, and this, I looked this guy up. He's one of the more sensible of the anarcho-syndicalist people. I've read some articles by him tonight, and he's kind of a player. He's kind of a name. You know, he's probably as well known to ANCOMs as, say, Ian Freeman is to ANCAPs. You know, he's one of the players. He's written a lot for a lot of their magazines, and he writes a lot of good stuff. You know, a lot of it's anti-police state, and, you know, a lot of the same things that we talk about. But, you know, it's also he's got the anti-capitalism thing. But it looked good. And what happened was a bunch of women and a few men, feminists, ultra feminists, the kinds that want to cut you probably when you criticize them. I don't know. It's hard to collectivize collectivists properly, but they basically saw that this guy was speaking, and this guy wrote an article at some point in the past discussing the fact that sometimes women falsely report rape or falsely report domestic abuse. Now, I have a friend who works in the law field who deals with divorces a lot, and that person told me that it's extremely common. She knows for a fact that it's extremely common for, you know, women to, like, beat their husband for years, and then one time he grabs their arm and says, "Don't beat me," and then, you know, she calls the police and says, "He beat me," and then she takes the kids. I'm not saying women don't get raped. They get raped all the time. I'm not saying the police do anything to help them when they report it. They usually don't. I'm not saying there aren't men who beat up women. There are. They're horrible people. I think the answer to that is women arming themselves, literally, and just picking better partners and people learning to be alone rather than be with somebody, anybody. But these women went to this event. This guy was up there on a panel discussion, and like 20 people started screeching, "We will not be silenced by your violence. We will not be silenced by your violence." Like, didn't let this guy speak, man, because he wrote an article that said the truth, which is that sometimes women, you know, falsely report rape or falsely report domestic abuse. They didn't want to hear that. And the guy wasn't even talking about that. That's something he said in the past. And, you know, they decided to go mess with him. So I looked this guy up. He seems like a sensible human for an ANCOM or an ANSYN. With that, let's call them ANSYNs, anarcho-syndicalists. So I wrote him a letter tonight.
Anarcho-sinners.
Anarcho-sinners. So I wrote a letter to Kristen Williams tonight from kristenwilliams.com, KristinWilliams.com. And here's the letter I wrote him. I sent this about an hour ago. I said, "Hey, man, I saw that horrible..." "Hey, man." Is that how they speak? I said, "Hey, man, I saw that horrible video of you getting shouted down. I'd like..." Oh, the subject line is an invitation to the dark side, anarcho-capitalism. I said, "Hey, man, I saw that horrible video of you getting shouted down. I'd like to invite you to consider becoming an ANCAP. We're much more polite, and most of our speaker events are held on private property. If that screechy Schumer happened at an ANCAP event, the screechers would be politely invited to leave. If they didn't leave, they'd likely be removed by private armed individuals hired by the event organizers." That's true, but I'm just laughing because I'm thinking, like, if this guy's like other ANSYNs and ANCOMs I've met, he's already like his jaw is dropping with horror at the first, you know, "Wait, armed people and private property? Blah!" I don't know. He seems like a sensible guy from the little bit I read by him. So,
oppression.
I said, "I've actually spoken at the same venue where you were shouted down. In 2005, I showed my film DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. People were snitty then there also. ANCOMs, ANCAPs have many of the same goals as ANCOMs. Anti-war, anti-police state, anti-war on drugs, anti-surveillance state, etc. But we're a lot more fun and far more civil. Please consider coming over to the dark side. Go ANCAP. It's fun. Michael W. Dean, Freedom Fiends Radio Show. P.S. We go on the air tonight at 10:06 p.m. West Coast time for 2 hours. We're a daily show. We don't have callers since we don't feel a need to provide a democratic platform for idiots. But if you want to chat on the show tonight, give me your Skype ID and I'll call you. You can listen here, Liberty Radio Network, link, bookmark it, and keep it on in the background. It's like NPR for market anarchists." I hope this guy, he hasn't called yet, he hasn't emailed me yet, but I have an open invitation to this guy to come on and hear how fun the dark side is. Now, you got comments, Lou?
Well, let's see, let's go back through that whole diatribe. Yeah, I guess it would be kind of out with a chubby chick that's scantily clad, trying to lay on the ground,
commit a crime,
and snag a can of coke out of a machine.
Yeah, see, I'm not down with the property theft, but it was just kind of like jaw dropping to me.
Can we make an exception for entertainment value?
Yeah,
was she successful?
I didn't stick around. Well, I watched her for a while, and then some other girl mad dogged me for watching her.
Okay, because if she was unsuccessful, then it's just entertainment. If she was successful, it's theft.
There you go. Yeah, really, I think there'd be no crime of attempted anything. Well, I don't know. At least not attempted. Yeah.
I wonder if scantily clad chubby ANCOMs would be laying on the ground trying to take heroin out of vending machines in Lib Pair.
Well, I think in Lib Pair also there'd probably be video cameras everywhere on the private property. So, you know, if someone tried to steal from your vending machine, you know, some cute chubby chick in a slip and combat boots and nothing else on the ground trying to steal something from you, I think even if they were successful, I think you'd probably make more money selling that video than the loss you suffered.
Did the combat boots go to mid-thigh? Because that's a real turn-on.
Oh, man. They're going to cut us. Now, the thing is, people are not armed. That's the saving. I couldn't imagine armed ANCOMs. That'd be scary. But most of them
They'd be too lazy to use their weapons.
Most of them are too... Yeah, and you know the thing is with communism too, like they arm everybody for the revolution and then disarm them the day after the revolution.
You know? Yeah, and if their weapons are like themselves, they'll never clean them and they'll just jam.
They won't. If the weapons are like them, they won't work. Yeah.
Hey-o.
Yeah. I don't know. This Christian Williams cat seems reasonable. I hope he considers coming over to the dark side. It's so much more fun, and you get to keep your stuff, man. Doesn't get redistributed.
Yeah. When Reason Magazine came out here, or Reason TV rather, came out here last August, Katie and I did our interview from like an ANCOM squat area. And
was it the Troubleplex?
No, it's a different one. And I'll go into it when we come back from the break.
Okay,
more Freedom Fiends after
I showed my movie at the Troubleplex too, and you and I once bonded over pictures of the chubby chicks in slips at yeah. All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
You know what, Lou? I'll tell you, Lou. Everyone I've ever heard yell, "Workers of the World Unite," has never worked a day in their life.
Well, they're exercising their Article 35 rights, and that's a part of the Chinese Constitution that talks about their free speech.
Yeah, you know, I used to go to this cafe called the Downbeat Cafe in Los Angeles and hang out there and, bring a laptop and work. And I was friends with everyone who worked there. And they were all kind of, you know, Workers of the World Unite type, but they worked. And, you know, I always tipped them better, you know, more. I tipped them pretty well because, they worked really hard and made minimum wage or less. And they were all starving artists. So, but this, the Workers of the World Unite people, you know, the international, whatever it is, the communist workers article magazine would come in there once a month and have their meeting, and they'd take over three or four tables and be really loud and obnoxious and stay there for 6 hours and never tip. And I asked them one day, you know, because my friends that worked there were complaining that these guys never tipped. And I said, "How come you guys never tip?" And they said, "We don't believe in tipping. If we tip, employers will never increase wages. We're trying to force the owner to increase wages." And I just thought, you small petty people, you know, you're screwing your fellow common man here to try to make the capitalists be less capitalist.
They don't have a firm grip on reality, and they should go over to the cafe that's run by the LAPD. It's called the Beatdown Cafe.
The Beatdown Cafe. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, we get up early to beat the crowds. Get your coffee here.
Yeah, cops never have to pay. Yeah, and you know, that's I still like those guys from the Red and Black Cafe. I really kudos to them for not serving cops and not giving, you know, like cops expect free stuff. And basically, you know, I guess the theory used to be if you serve the cops, they'll be in here and you're less likely to get robbed. But now it's kind of turned a lot of places into this thing of like, it's a shakedown. Like if you don't give the cops free stuff in your restaurant, you know, they'll I don't know what they'll do, but it does feel like a shakedown. I've seen it happen with store owners.
Well, what are they going to threaten you with? Taking longer than the pizza guy to respond if you call?
They do that anyway.
Exactly. Now, going back to the whole part of whatever causes hamster book pod beef with that one fellow with the Red Black Cafe. I don't know if you talked about this yet, but. There was somebody in the bathroom having a heroin overdose. Apparently, he got too much of the community heroin out of the collective storage unit. And because the owner was concerned about the cops coming in and brutalizing everybody else, searching, doing massive shakedown, and then beating the heroin user for resisting arrest or something like that as he's just laying there lifeless. He said, yeah, go ahead, send EMS. You know, send ambulances, send a St. Bernard.
Send lawyers, guns, and money.
Yeah, send a St. Bernard with a little mini barrel under his collar, but don't send any cops. Because he didn't want them coming in there and stirring up trouble, and I can completely relate to it.
Did it work? Did the cops come anyway?
The cops came, but I don't think that they went inside. So, huh. You know, as far as his reasoning goes, you know, good on him. Go, commie, go.
Yeah, and in LibPair, you know, the cafes where people often take heroin would just have a syringe on hand of Narcan. You know, the antidote. When I was a heroin addict, I used to keep a syringe of that on hand. I kept it over the frame of the door to my bedroom with a cap on it, sterile syringe full of the antidote, basically the same thing the EMTs shoot you up with. And anybody that was partying at my house, I told them, I was like, hey, if anyone ever ODs, grab that syringe, stick it into someone's muscle. You don't even have to find a vein, just pump it into their arm and they will come. They'll go from like dead to instantly very awake and dope sick. It just blocks all the opiate receptors in your brain and body.
Yeah, so, it probably costs a fraction of what the stuff that the EMTs carry.
Yeah, yeah. I got it free from the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic. It was a long story, but yep. So we will be back, if we still are on the radio after the break, for what we've been saying. We'll be back to Michael soon. Dean After Dark.
Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow worms.
I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The stato sperimentato.
The United States government presents
no vision.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Esto es por su parte considera
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends.
I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof.
Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to
torrent Fiends archives.
Do not go to freedomfiends.com
and click on the torrent
link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Do not go to freedomfiends.com
and click on the torrent link
and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Good evening. This is the Freedom Fiends. seeping into your cerebellum and your cerebral cortex and your pineal gland in particular, because that's the one that feels really good. And you know, we were listening to some news item before the show started tonight, you know, the news at the top of the hour on the GCN feed, and they were talking about separatists in the Ukraine being like beat up by pro-Russian activists. And I'm like, pro-Russian? What the heck is that? You know, are they shouting USSR, USSR? And I remember when we talked to that band Luna from Russia, they said that there actually are people in Russia who miss the Soviet Union and want to go back to it. They want to go back to the might and power and pageantry of standing in bread lines and having all your money stolen to pay for tanks and missiles. Isn't that weird, Lou?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that is so square.
That is so square. So go wherever you want. I just wanted to mention that I think, you know, those statists should just move to North Korea, whether they're from here or Russia.
Actually, maybe they should go back to the USSR, because from Article 57 of the Soviet Constitution, respect for the individual and protection of the rights and freedoms of citizens are the duty of all state bodies, public organizations, and officials. Citizens of the USSR have the right to protection by the courts against encroachments on their honor and reputation, life and health, and personal freedom and property.
Where are you finding these things?
Well, unlike most constitution huggers, I actually read constitutions.
Yeah, and the point you're trying to make, correct me if I'm wrong, the point that you're trying to make is that things written down on paper don't protect you, and people who say, we got to get back to the Constitution in America, it doesn't do it, man. That's not what protects you.
No, not at all. Back in my status days before I went into recovery, I was reading one of Glenn Beck's books, and he was talking about the Second Amendment. And there was a court case where a woman had a restraining order against somebody, and that somebody came in and held her captive for several hours or something like that, and she had called the police, and they had driven by a couple times and didn't stop, and said, the Second Amendment, because words on paper, meaning a PPO, will not protect you.
That's funny. Yeah.
But what is the Second Amendment? It's words on paper.
Yeah. And I think I know about the case you're talking about, or it might be a similar case. You know, it was a woman who was murdered by her boyfriend or husband that she had a restraining order on, and she'd applied for to buy a pistol in a state that had a waiting period, and she was killed by him during that waiting period.
Yeah. For some reason, I'm thinking that it was Mordor on the Potomac, but I could be wrong. I'm not going to read the book again to find out.
The famous case in D.C. that's often quoted in why the police won't protect you, there's a case from about 25 years ago where somebody was being, you know, home invaded and raped and beaten and called the police, and they took, you know, 75 minutes to get there and literally stopped for donuts on the way. And got there in time to take pictures of the dead, brutalized, bloody body. You know, and the family sued the police, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court decision was that no police in America have a duty to protect any individual.
And that's been reiterated several times.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, basically the case law is getting to the point where it's a lot of police seem to have a duty to murder you.
Yeah. Well, in LA, it's, we don't serve and protect you, but we will treat you like a king.
Like Rodney King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I may get a little bit risque here, if we look back to the Bundy Ranch incident not too long ago, you know, people said, well, this shows how the Second Amendment protects us, and this shows how the Second Amendment rolls back tyranny. Well, once again, the Second Amendment is just words on paper. And I've heard that some of the federal goons and hired goons, because most of them were like contractors, temp workers.
Temp goons.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that a lot of them felt a little bit creepy about being there, and they didn't want to do anything. If you look at, if you've seen the video of when the, when the militia people were walking up and they were going to retrieve the cattle. And ironically, they're carrying the same flag that the goons were wearing on their shoulders.
The American flag, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so fighting against each other, and they wave the same flag. But anyway,
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. So anyway, as they're approaching, they're armed. They've got sidearms on their hips, and I didn't see in the video too many people carrying long guns. But it wasn't the Second Amendment that backed down the goons. It was the guns. If they would have approached with their pocket constitution in their holster, they'd probably be dead or in jail.
Yeah. You know what really and that's all so true, man. It's so true. And the thing that really disturbed me, I think, most about that video, and I haven't heard anyone talk about this, is all the goons, they look like dudes you'd want to have a beer with. They looked like, they were all like, between 25 and 35 and just kind of looked like dudes, like regular dudes. And I'm like, what are regular people, like what fork in the road did these people come to in their life that made them, become goons instead of go work on an oil rig?
Yeah. Well, the particular video that I'm talking about was shot by David Knight from InfoWars, and it shows a guy with the wraparound mirrored sunglasses, because if you're a goon, you got to have those. But that guy had a beard, and his beard, he would have fit in just fine at one of the meetups that I go to. I mean, he didn't look like a regular sworn officer.
Yeah, because cops can't wear beards anywhere in America, not full, scruffy anarchist-looking beards.
Right.
Yeah, and the footage of those goons at the Pumpkin Fest in Keene with the rifles, the really bad, stupid snipers who let someone get behind them twice with a video camera, which is sniper 101. You watch your six, or at least the second guy there should be watching your six. But those guys looked like, anybody that I'd go shooting with in Wyoming. It really disgusted me. And when there was a police raid on my block recently, I don't know what it was. They were serving a warrant. They went away empty-handed. They were looking for somebody, and he wasn't there, like three houses over around the corner. And they looked like dudes. I mean, there were some older guys there that looked like, your typical fat cop. They were the commanders. But they looked like dudes, 30-something dudes that you'd go shooting with or have a beer with. And they were all driving their own cars, or else maybe stuff that had been seized by the police. They weren't driving anything standard, and they weren't driving police stuff. They were driving like, what you'd take the kids to the soccer game in, like that kind of SUV.
Yeah. I have a theory on cops. And like I said, reports from the Bundy Ranch were that a lot of these guys were uncomfortable, and maybe the reason that they didn't open fire on the crowd that was not waving guns at anybody was because they had an attack of conscience, or because humans aren't set up to kill. And that's not their main thing. But whenever you hear a cop, when he's doing road piracy, he says, "Just doing my job." He doesn't say it with exuberance, like, could you imagine, arresting a serial killer and saying, "Oh, sorry, buddy, just doing my job."
Yeah.
No, he'd be proud. He'd be like, yeah, just did my job. Woohoo.
Yeah.
Give me some extra donuts, celebrating, popping the cork on the Schlitz malt liquor and everything else. But I think they know when they use that excuse. One, I think they're trying to convince themselves a little bit more than they're trying to convince others. Yeah. But I think there's an attack of conscience. I think that they're saying, I know this isn't such a right thing, and let me just try and justify this. I think there's some pangs of guilt there.
Yeah, I think there is. My guess in that particular situation, though, is that it was probably an order from somewhere higher up, somewhere, from someone in a comfy Cheeto eating military bunker somewhere watching the whole thing on the surveillance drones that told them to stand down. And I believe that Bundy is going to, the government's going to do it on their own terms. They're not going to do it out in the desert where people can show up with guns. They're going to take him to court for the rest of his life. They're going to destroy him, unfortunately. I really believe that's going to happen. And, in a court's a controlled environment. Only the cops have guns. You can't protest. You can't come in with a gun. You can't be loud. InfoWars will not be invited. They'll be told to go away. And you know, I think some people did get arrested there for having weapons, and that didn't make a lot of news, but people did get busted. I'm sure everyone there got photographed and will get hassled for decades and turned down for things and, you know, maybe poisoned with something by some Obamacare doctor, and they'll
just gang audited by the IRS. Gang audited
by the IRS. Yeah. I don't think that the people won, and it really looked like it did. You know, my dad was really excited about that. He doesn't know how to use the internet, and he, you know, none of this stuff is really on TV in any useful way, but he has a handyman that works for him who is, you know, kind of a small government guy, a gun guy, and showed it to my dad on, showed him a video on his iPhone. And my dad's mind was just blown, and he was calling me up and saying, and he got it all wrong. He's like, Michael, I saw what was going on out there in Wyoming. The militias are standing up to the government. The Second Amendment's working. And I'm like, well, okay, hang on a sec. So I sent him some Alex Jones videos that had more details in it, so at least he'd know that it was not Wyoming. But, you know, he was so excited about that. He thought it was the beginning of American Revolution II or something, but it wasn't.
Nah, and realistically, revolution is not going to produce anything better. Bennett talked about the Battle of Athens on his show, badquaker.com.
Yes.
And I guess after a couple of years, five or six of the original insurgents that took down Boss Hogg and the local cronies said that it wound up worse than what it was before it started. And if you look at the American Secession, you know, they went to war partially over a 3% tax on a beverage. And then George Washington signs off on a 25% tax on an after dinner beverage.
Yeah, in an industry where he's a competitor and was trying to put his, you know, yeah, the Whiskey Rebellion, man. You know, anybody who says we got to go back to when America was good, we got to like bring back the Constitution, you're going to have to bring it back to between, like, you know, 1775 and or 1776 and, like, 1791 or whenever the Whiskey Rebellion was, because it got violated almost immediately by the people whose names were signed on it against the people who fought in the Revolution.
It wasn't violated. It was enforced fully.
Yeah, there you go.
More after this.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark.
Hey, this is some Squiskar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so...
My kitty cat in hell sound. And yeah, we're just talking here. Open a tasty beverage.
The rights of the individual are inviolable. Article 114 of the Weimar Republic.
Stop
Constitution.
Communist. And yeah, all right.
Well, at least I don't have a bad mustache when I say that.
You what?
I said, at least I don't have a bad mustache, because that was in the Constitution under Mr. Stash.
What are you talking about?
Adolf Hitler. I didn't want to go into Godwin's Law.
To mention Hitler in a discussion on the internet. Did Hitler say people had to have a Hitler stash?
No. But in their Constitution, it says the rights of the individual are inviolable. And then they were violated.
Yep. Hitler kind of ruined that mustache. And it's a pretty cool, weird mustache. Charlie Chaplin wore it well. Charlie Chaplin also played Hitler. Charlie Chaplin was also an anarchist and was basically kicked out of America for not supporting the war. Do you know about that?
Yeah, that was during World War I.
Yep, and we're still waiting for Christian Williams, the ANCOM or ANSYN, who got shouted down to... return our request for an interview. What do they do on mainstream media? They write you right before the show goes on, and then they make it look like they've refused to talk to you when they probably just are out having a good time and haven't checked your email. So I will say it. Christian Williams has not responded to a request for an interview at the time of this broadcast.
And he may not even know about the request.
I know. He's probably out hanging out with some plump girls in slips and combat boots if he's smart.
Thigh-high combat boots.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I'm going to get shouted down. Yeah. So what are you going to do if someone... If a group of people came in while I was speaking at Porkfest and started shouting me down, what are you going to do?
Well, I will politely ask them to stop shouting you down.
And then what if they don't?
Well, if I was a tea partier, I'd wave my flag a little bit harder at them.
Yeah.
And then I would beg them to stop abusing you.
Yeah. And we're not going to say where it would go to or what up to what point because, someone will probably feel their rights are violated because we said it on the air. Make a stink. So
I might do a little bit of libertarian bravado or macho libertarian flashing every now again. I personally am a big fan of nonviolent resolution. And I know a lot of times when people are doing stuff like that, it's because, you know, they weren't loved enough as children and dropped on their heads as babies. And you know, you can have a reasonable discussion with these people sometimes. And then sometimes it's like having a battle of wits with an unarmed man.
See, I don't picture ANCAPs doing that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know, man. I mean, even the most brutalist, you know, yelling on the internet kind of people, I just picture what they would do is if someone they didn't like was speaking, is they would just go stand outside the event and have their own event and the market would take care of it. And if they had something that more people wanted to hear, everyone would leave the event they're protesting and come out and listen to them. That's how ANCAPs would do it.
Yeah. And ANCAPs definitely have the reputation for the bravado, but when you get down to it and you talk to these folks, they're really not that wild or boisterous or anything like that. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, macho libertarian flash is for show, and they can have effective communications. Matter of fact, a lot of folks in the ANCAP movement are into what's called nonviolent communications. In the mental health field is called motivational interviewing, and management is called effective communications. And you know that it's essentially to avoid the conflict or to resolve conflict and just have clear communication so you understand what you're talking about. One of the problems with Hamster Book is that
Facebook,
you can't tell the tone of the person when they're typing. There's not a special font that denotes sarcasm.
Yeah, and I mean, there are, you know, smileys and frownies and LOLs and stuff, but LOL can either mean I think what I just said is funny, or it can mean I believe the complete opposite of what I just wrote. So it's confusing. You know, the way that ANCOMs and ANSINs tend to communicate is either lying, like that guy did when he took the screenshot of my typo 15 seconds before I corrected it and then said, look how stupid these people are, they can't spell. I mean, I told him he should go work for the government. That's like government pool right there. So, but the other thing is, you know, Davy Barker has been to a bunch of Occupy Wall Street events to hand out stuff, and he said everything works with a consensus there, which is basically somewhere between democracy and verbal might makes right. It's you discuss it and you have votes, and then like whoever's loudest wins.
Well, actually, one person can actually kill something.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Lysander Fiend is on the other end of the line there. He's cruising down the road in Lake Isabella, California, in his driverless car from Google.
My hovercraft.
Yep. And you have a clarification because we went to a break and you got cut off mid-sentence. And what is the last thing you said before we went to break?
We were talking about the ANCOMs and consensus building. And I says, well, if one person doesn't like it.
No, you said one person can kill something. And then we went to the break. And I was
one person can kill
you're
something.
Clarifying that when we come back because that sounded like a death threat out of context. So go ahead and clarify.
Yeah. What it really means is, and I know a guy who was in the Occupy movement. He was explaining this stuff and how when they get together and have their discussions, they do their fruity little hand gestures signals. For the – yeah. If one person is vehemently opposed to a particular idea, he can shoot that idea down. Oops, I said shoot down. What he can do is he can stop that idea dead in its tracks. Oops, I said
– And that's why nothing gets done, because one person will always be vehemently opposed to something.
Well, what it does is it promotes people working to eliminate the stuff that, you know,
people don't, a few people, somebody doesn't like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, what a way to build a society. That's ridiculous. It's almost as ridiculous as 51% deciding what they steal from the other 49%.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is to reach an agreement. So if you have a situation where everybody is happy, then that's, you know, then that's not a bad thing, because everybody agrees to it. In this particular case, the one lamb doesn't have to be used for dinner.
Yeah, okay.
Unlike the lamb that I cooked up yesterday.
Yeah, but they're all starving because they're vegetarians and they don't want to work and they want to share the work equally. And I was looking at a site that this guy writes for called zcommunications.com, or what is it? It's called Z Magazine, The Spirit of Resistance Lives, and it's an ANCOM, ANSYN blog or magazine. And there's articles in here about the what's the minimum wage movement, the Free 15 movement or something. No, this is on another site he writes for called towardfreedom.com. It's
the Free Lunch Project.
The Free Lunch Project. It's called the Fight for 15 campaign, which is a worldwide fast food for workers striking to try to get $15 an hour minimum wage. Now talk about what a fast food worker looks like if there's a $15 an hour minimum wage.
He has push buttons. he has a color monitor.
Yep.
Now there's a reason why fast food workers don't make $15 an hour right now. I find it interesting that an anarcho-syndicalist is using the state to get a $15 minimum wage mandate.
Yeah.
But,
and the other thing is, not only does a minimum wage, when there's a $15 an hour minimum wage, that's what a fast food worker looks like, is, you know, something with push buttons that has a color monitor on it. It's also down most of the time because it's probably running on Windows 8.
Oh, God. Oh, I hate Windows 8.
I know. You know, everyone should ask me before they do anything. Not for permission.
I was in a pinch.
Not for permission, but advice. You have my phone number. You know I'm always here. You could call me. Yeah, if you'd ask me what computer should I get, I'd say go out of your way to get one with Windows 7, man.
Yeah. But anyway, going back to the ANCOMs and their $15 minimum wage, have you ever wondered why the fast food workers or the guy pushing the broom somewhere is not at like a privately owned space station company developing privately owned space stations to launch in space?
If he's worth, you know, that amount, he should at least be, I'll bet the guy sweeping the floors at the private space company makes more than $15 an hour without having to be told to by the government.
Probably. And he probably does a pretty good job of sweeping the floors.
Yeah. And he's not spending his time on his corporate produced cell phone texting his friends about how much he's being oppressed.
Exactly. And when you talk about a
really common complaint I have of people who hate capitalism is they constantly use the tools of capitalism to complain about it. They're using iPhones, they're using, you know, computers, etc., things that wouldn't exist without capitalism. Now, do you think they look at us complaining about that the same way we look at status, saying, who would build the roads?
That's kind of a tough one.
Well, we'd like to know, but Christian Williams has not, as of this broadcast, responded to our request for an interview.
Nor do we know if he has seen the request.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think the ideology of the ANCOM and even the left libertarians is, I've heard left libertarians refer to working as or having an employer
wage slavery.
Well, not just wage slavery, but they call it a violation of the non-oppression principle.
Oh, God.
And they completely discount the idea that it's a voluntary relationship. And I'm sad to say this, but the term wage slavery and the ideas behind it comes from Lysander Spooner, from one of his other works.
He was kind of a left libertarian and ANCAP thick libertarian, wasn't he?
Yeah, I'd have to say so. He was very good on Constitution, but not very good on voluntary interactions and transactions.
Yeah. But he was a good guy overall. We like him a lot. He came up with the aggression principle, which is the description of what the state does, of how every government interaction escalates or threatens to escalate to a gun or a cage. And, yeah, I mean, you named yourself after him. You're Lysander Fien, right?
Lysander.
Lysander Fien. Sorry.
Actually, somebody else named me. Somebody else named me Lysander. A friend of mine here who interacts with Campaign for a Tiny Bit More Liberty.
Was it a derogatory term? Like, oh, you're one of those. You're Lysander.
He's more one of us than one of them.
You know, it's really – I was trying to explain to my wife how there's all this discussion now of thin versus thick libertarianism and brutalist versus – what's the opposite of brutalist? Humanist?
Humanitarian.
Yeah, I don't even know. And she was like, God, there's too many flavors. And I kind of agreed. Like, it's kind of stupid, but – I actually don't mind the thin versus thick libertarian thing, and I am firmly in the thin camp, even though I have a bit of a non-beer belly here. Yeah, I'm a thin libertarian man. All I'm concerned about is whether or not people adhere to and promote the non-aggression principle. Everything else is just window dressing. And everything else, like fighting racism, fighting sexism, fighting wage inequality, I think would kind of fall into place if the non-aggression principle were far more universally adhered to.
If only we could get back to the zero aggression principle.
Yeah. I mean,
vote harder.
Vote harder. Yeah, that's what these ANCOMs are trying to do. They're trying to get government. It's so weird, man. It's an anarchist site, and they're trying to get the government to do something. That's just caca cuckoo crazy, man.
That's like rock against drugs or Christians against Christ.
Rock against drugs.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about these driverless cars and how it's going to cripple law enforcement budgets. Go, Michael, go.
Well, Google's coming out with driverless cars, you know, kind of, it's not the flying car, but it's a car. It's basically a drone. And, you know, if you don't know, a drone technically is a flying robot or even a, you know, on the roads robot or off roads robot that, now, they can be controlled remotely, but basically the technical description of a drone is something that doesn't need to be controlled remotely. They can be set to do a particular task, like fly daily to a certain area and fly at a certain altitude in a certain circle and film what's below it.
Protest for a higher minimum wage.
Yeah, they need drones, man. So that's what a drone is, and there are drone vehicles. And what this Google is basically making is, you know, personal go to work drones, you know, drones for the drones to go to work in, to where it would just, you know, you'd program your route, you'd sit in it, and you could, you know, be typing with one hand or checking your Freedom Fiends or whatever while the car safely drives you to work. And are these a reality now, or is this a plan, or is this a beta stage, or what's the deal with it?
I don't really know. Theoretically, it's possible. It says in here that Google's driverless cars have now combined to drive more than 700,000 miles on public roads without receiving one citation.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm pretty sure they're in beta because I know that Google has gotten California State to change laws to allow them. So they're either rolling them out in beta or they're rolling them out soon. And basically, they're not going to get tickets because they're going to drive the speed limit and they're going to correct for accidents and they're going to move around things and they're going to be better than people driving, theoretically. So where if those become the main mode of travel, there won't be traffic tickets and cops will go out of business. But I'm guessing what they'll probably try to do is tax these things more heavily to make up for the, you know, you're going to have a you're not committing traffic violations tax.
yeah. And it's really interesting because although that would be a good unintended consequence to get all those welfare moms off of off the dole.
The welfare cops.
I want to use the WWH word, but get the cops off the welfare rolls. You know, it is an unintended consequence. And if you look at what's going on with the road construction money, by pushing for higher mileage standards and people using less fuel, there's actually less money for the roads.
well, they'll have to make more efficient roads. I believe, you know, when they say without the government, who would build the roads? My answer is somebody who does it cheaper and better, because roads are tied into the mafia in a lot of states, the literal mafia. And when they're not tied into the literal mafia, they're tied into something like a mafia, a lot of backroom deals and helping out cronies. There is a house in my town. It's actually a series of houses. It's a compound. It's a mansion with a gate around it that has its own privately named street going to it. And I was driving there one day and I got lost. I was with a friend and he's from here. He'd lived here longer than me. And I was like, what is that thing? I mean, it looks like Xanadu or something. It looks like, you know, Michael Jackson's summer home in Wyoming. And he's like, oh, that's owned by the family that builds the roads in Wyoming. I'm like, really? Yeah. And the street that they're on is called Luck, L-U-C-K. It's a, you know, it only goes to their house. It's a public road, but it's called Luck Street. Isn't that mind-blowing?
Yeah. And just remember, roads are so complicated, only government can lay a flat surface of concrete on the ground and make it serviceable. Now, here in Michigan, they're talking about a mileage tax now. And I think it's already starting out in California.
Ugh.
Where they're going to have black boxes in the cars. And maybe these Google cars will tie into it. So they'll tax you by the mile, and then also they'll be able to be taken over and drop you off to the appropriate authority's office for for your flight to.
I'm sure they'll spy on you too. I mean, Google is basically the government at this point. They used to be cool, now they're not. And you know, I'm sure they'll have microphones in them, because if you're in trouble, you'll have to be able to talk and say, "Come get me." But they'll just probably turn them on whenever they want, or let police do that. We'll see.
This radio show is called Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to
torrent Fiends archives.
Do not go to freedomfiends.com
and click on the torrent
link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Do not go to freedomfiends.com
and click on the torrent link
and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Uber. Protesting Uber. What is Uber? I don't know what that is, man.
Uber is like a disruptive taxi technology. I'm not really up on it, but from what I understand, it's cell phone based. There's an app, and you can find transportation that'll take you all over the place.
Do they have drivers, or is it the company where they leave cars around and you can get into them electronically?
I don't know. I want to say they have drivers. I've seen advertisements looking for Uber drivers. So,
who's protesting them? Taxi drivers?
No, that was some lefty anarchists out in Seattle.
Why?
Because these people are providing a service, and providing services are oppression.
They're running a sweatshop with an app. They don't have the guts to come down and talk to us. We've been here for 2 hours. Oh, it is taxi driver, says Raj Azala, a driver for San Francisco Best Limo, who is serving as the group spokesperson. Okay, this is in San Francisco. Were you saying there was an ANCOM protest somewhere else?
I think it was up in Seattle, but let me just do a disclosure. These guys are not anarchists. They're nothing more than economically illiterate, butthurt socialists.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're opposed to all kinds of hierarchy, when hierarchy, as you pointed out during the break, is a natural occurrence in human existence.
Yeah, because that Christian fellow couldn't become a rock star in his movement if there wasn't hierarchy.
Yeah, I think that's what they were really protesting him for, was because he's popular and they're not.
You earned fame and popularity.
So you earned an invite at a panel discussion and we didn't. So we're going to just yell through your panel discussion.
And we find your success to be oppressive.
Yeah. I think a lot of these people just had poor potty training.
Yeah, let's get off the ANCOMs for a minute. Okay. Let's talk about some fun stuff like ignoring the state.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, the interstate pothole system that I drive on to get to and from work is being repaired because it was bad. It looked like like the Air Force went through and dropped cluster bombs all over it because that's how many holes were in it. But anyway, on the drive home, you have to get off the highway and go to the service drive because, of course, the highway is closed. And at this one particular intersection, they have deemed it necessary to not let people make left turns there. And they have the flashing billboard sign a little bit before that, and then they got the little signs all around it that have, you know, the left turn and then the circle slash through it. And just about everybody is ignoring it. Now, I'm going to put on my min status dunce cap for a second and say, well, maybe it's about public safety or maybe it's about this or the other thing. And maybe it's about keeping the flow of traffic moving, but it's not. There's no safety issue with it whatsoever. And in fact, there was a cockroach that was on that corner and he had his car parked there to keep people from making that turn. And it was nice because he was getting rained on the other day. But anyway, when people were going down to the next bridge to do the turnaround, there were so many people there because they couldn't make the left turn and just get on the road that traffic was blocked up and the bridge was probably about 120 yards easily, maybe even more. And that was all backed up. Plus, the lane to turn to get onto the bridge was backed up. So what they've actually done is they've created a traffic jam with this stupid little rule of no turning left in a place where it's perfectly reasonable to turn left and it's not harming anything.
Yeah.
So government making everything suck.
Making everything difficult.
Yeah. And they did put one of the orange barrels a little bit more into the intersection to try and prevent people from doing it. But people are still making the left turn. I, as a law abiding citizen that always obeys the laws and doesn't do anything wrong, I always go down to that turnaround because I'm not one of these scofflaws.
Scofflaws. Well, then you won't be able to turn over your honey badger badge that Davy Barker's making. You know about this?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. He's making a badge with a honey badger on it, and you're supposed to put it on upside down. He and I came up with this together on the show. It's he's going to have them as buttons at Porkfest, but he's going to make badges later because they cost more and take longer to make. But it's a badge that you put on upside down, and you can't turn it right. You're not supposed to turn it right side up until you've broken a nanny law that day or done some activism. We'll be back Saturday for my birthday weekend. I turned 50 on Sunday, so it's going to be party all week. Worms.
And I never swear in public when cops kick me
Worms.
Out of the park. Worm bacon.
Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.